day thinking. Lifestyle expert Belinda Chang is on the phone with us. She's been hosting a boozy brunch. Hey, Belinda, how are you?
Doing just great. Thank you. How are you?
We're good. You know, we're holed up here in the studio. We're not allowed to have guests in last time you were here with us, but we're all doing our social distancing, so we're being smart.
Yes.
This has got to be a really tough time for you because you're all about bringing people together here in a time where you can't really do that.
It's true. I had a day a few weeks ago where I got a lot of texts and emails asking me to jump onto phone calls, and I just knew it was happening. Every single phone call chat was about canceling an event. So I just thought, oh my God, my business is exploding. What am I going to do?
So what are you doing? How do we, and for everybody who loves the idea of brunches and getting together and having people over, this whole lifestyle change, how are you handling it with your business, and how are you recommending people handle missing out on that human interaction?
Well, what I decided to do is to pivot to virtual, not to be cliche, but in real life. 6 weeks ago, I realized that it wasn't just myself, but all of my friends, I think, are kind of in some of the deepest trouble, small business owners and people who serve, right? You know, a bartender that doesn't have their bar, or a sommelier or wine person that doesn't have wine to serve anymore, and it's what they do for a living and what they do out of love, had nothing to do. And so I decided to start this thing called Virtual Brunch, where anyone can come and join us, and people have joined us from France and Italy and from cities all over the country. They join us for an hour, and they come, and they get to have one of the best bartenders in the world with us. They send their recipes in advance, so you can buy all the ingredients or hunt through your bar or your cabinets to see if you have everything. And we actually make cocktails with an amazing award-winning bartender. And then we sip wines with a great wine director or sommelier per their recommendations. And then we actually cook with chefs using their recipes live, and we can ask questions and hold up our pans and ask them if the color looks right. We have all kinds of fun, and I think it's kind of the closest thing that you can have to a restaurant experience right now for so many of us who miss that.
Well, it really is. I mean, there's so many people who don't necessarily cook or do any of those things. They just love being interactive with it. So I imagine it's okay to just jump on and watch, too, and do the drinking and not do the cooking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of us have a guilty pleasure. We love to watch cooking shows and food shows, maybe not because we like to cook, but because it's very satisfying to watch, you know, Rachel Ray or Martha Stewart or someone who's really great at cooking make a dish and, you know, live their lives. So you don't have to be on video, just like all these virtual events. You don't have to wear pants. You get to have this sort of restaurant experience and this food and wine experience from the comfort of your home. Well, anything goes in virtual.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me a little bit about the virtual boozy brunch and what that's been able to do.
So this has been kind of the amazing part. There are a lot of people, restaurateurs with GoFundMes and virtual tip jars and all kinds of organizations like the James Beard Foundation taking donations and support for restaurateurs. But we do something that I think is next level, in that if you really love the bartender service or the recipe that they shared with us, everyone in our audience, and we generally have 250 people joining us every Sunday, has an option to Venmo to tip. So it's a virtual tip jar, but maybe even better, because that tip goes direct into the pockets of these furloughed people and laid off people who can really use those funds right now, you know, to buy toilet paper and food. And there's sort of, so, you know, all these day-to-day needs that are imminent, and not just imminent, but like now, they get dollars to do that right away. And it's all from the generosity and support of these people from all over the world that are dialing in and then tipping them for their service, what they love to do most.
What do you think the restaurant industry is going to look like in Chicago when we get back out of this?
I got to tell you, I think it's a very grim picture. You know, having operated and worked in restaurants for more than 25 years, the economics of restaurant ownership and working them has always been a little different than other businesses. So I think if there's not very targeted aid from the government, you know, there are these small business loan programs, but somehow those dollars are not getting directly to small restaurant owners. I think a lot of places are not going to be able to reopen. You know, you need to have had great cash resources to be able to weather this storm. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm praying and rooting for all of our friends who had these great places where we lived our best lives to be able to make it to the other side. Not everybody could do delivery and carry out, right? So, and maybe delivery and carry out isn't enough. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and how tough do you think it's going to be with social distancing? I mean, we're trying to talk to restaurateurs pretty much every week here on the show and highlight a place that's still doing carry out and things like that.
Thank you.
And absolutely. And I have a lot of friends who are in the business and who are part of groups that have 10 restaurants, and I just worry, like, are they going to reopen? And even when we get these, you know, we go through these phases of opening, eventually restaurants will be on that list. But I'm really worried for them that it's going to be like with such extreme social distancing that they're going to be debating whether or not it's going to make sense for them to reopen. If you could only have half the capacity or at a time, is it going to make enough money? Is it going to drive enough revenue? And especially for the bars that count on there's games on, we got hundreds of people in here all jammed together. I think for a lot of the sports bars, if they can't do that, how is it going to make sense for them?
Well, how are they even going to pay the rent? I mean, can you imagine as much as, look, I love to go to a bar. I love to hang out at a restaurant. What if there's nobody within 6 feet of either side of you? Because it's going to feel completely different. So I've heard from a lot of friends that they're doing the measurements, figuring out exactly how many seats they can have and how that changes their P&L and how much staff they can even rehire to bring back per the number of people they're going to be able to serve for a night. And then on the other side of it, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm asking myself, when am I going to be ready to go back to a crowded space of any sort and feel safe in it? I mean, you know, I still go to Mariano's once a week to pick up my groceries, and you know, do they only allow like 10 people in at a time? What's it going to be like when you are allowed to have more people? How is that going to change the experience for everyone? So it's really going to change the world quite a lot. I think the smart people, the bars that are doing cocktail kits, so that will remain an option because, you know, maybe for the first few months after, I'm still going to want to have a house party but support my favorite bar or restaurant, but I'm going to want to bring people that I know very well into a small gathering instead of always being kind of in a space with a lot of people. It's going to be a different world, that's for sure.
Well, I think there's a lot of places that maybe just won't reopen or be able to reopen in the same way. Do you think there's going to be a whole change in how restaurants are concepted to try to adjust to? I mean, how do you think that restaurateurs are thinking about this? Like, man, this is here to stay, so we need to think of a new concept where we have more room and fewer actual tables so that we can accommodate having fewer people in? Or do you think they're going to hope that it's going to get back to normal and we've got to stick with what we do?
I think everybody's being very optimistic and they're hoping that they can, one, bring back all their staff, because I know that that's been a really heart-wrenching thing. I was on a webinar for the James Beard Foundation with Rick Bayless, and he was talking about how he thought the hardest thing he ever had to do was to furlough all of his 200 staff, but then he realized the even harder thing to do was to hand them boxes of food once a week to help them out, you know, realizing how difficult and challenging this really is. But, you know, I think on the other side, it's maybe the most difficult thing is going to be not being able to bring back all 200 people or 100% of your staff to continue to do what they did. You know, I don't know of all the sommeliers. I have a lot of great friends across the country and in Chicago, too, who are specialists in wine, right? And I don't know, are you as a guest now always going to want someone right at your table side talking about bottles of wine? You know, is that going to be something that's going to continue in this brave new world of restaurants post-pandemic? We will see.
Yeah. Do you think that there's, you know, it's because when we think about a restaurant reopening and having to incorporate social distancing, to me that means they're not going to be able to, or they won't bring back their entire staff because they're not going to be able to serve as many people. So there's still going to be a huge amount of service industry professionals who are going to run into roadblocks to getting jobs back, I would think.
Which is why I'm sort of excited that this virtual thing is gaining quite a lot of traction. I know that there are so many virtual happy hours, and I'm hoping that if people are hosting a corporate happy hour, that they'll bring in a furloughed bartender or a wine person or even a chef to do demonstrations for them, and also just to do what we always do. We always sort of help the guests to connect and keep them comfortable and share stories. That's always been a part of service and hospitality. So all of that can still happen in the virtual space. I've had just about every client that I lost talking to me every day, trying to figure out how to convert all of their events to virtual events. So I'm even doing things like a 5-course tasting menu that gets delivered to your door and to 5 other friends' doors, where we then all go onto Zoom or another platform, and there's the chef there to help you assemble the course. And then there's me to tableside serve, you know, quote unquote, the wine virtually, so that you still get this really elegant and, you know, if you still want it, a Michelin-starred dining experience like you're in a restaurant. So it's been kind of fun. I mean, that's one very small upside, with a lot of huge downsides is learning this new thing. And maybe this virtual thing, virtual dining, is a new normal where you can purchase like a fancy Blue Apron meal kit from your favorite restaurant and enjoy it with a bunch of different friends on screen.
It's such the new normal. It just sounds so like, God, it just makes you more want to get back to just being able to go meet some friends at a restaurant and sit outdoors and have drinks, you know?
For sure. This is what we can do for now. Yeah. We'll see what happens after.
What do you think about all the weddings this summer? I have several friends. We had several weddings we were going to be attending this summer, and now everything is up in the air. And, you know, a restaurant is one thing. You have groups of people. But a wedding is a big mass of people all trying to be together in the same room, all intermingling with each other. And I just wonder, like, when will we ever get clearance to have that, and will that happen again in the same way?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, part of the wine education and a sommelier's education is tasting as much wine as possible. We spit it too. It's not that we're consuming it all, but, right. You know, I've gone to tastings where the very classic format is a big walk around in a hotel bar, you know, or a hotel ballroom, and there are hundreds of people and tables of open bottles and glasses and spittoons. You know, everything sounds much nicer in French. The little bucket that you spit the wine into, not swallowing 300 wines, is also called a crachoir. So you know, crachoirs everywhere. I mean, I can't imagine personally wanting to go to one of these until maybe next year or afterwards. So I'm now wondering, how am I going to get to taste 300 or 600 wines at one time, or learn what's happening in a vintage? You know, weddings, yes, that's going to change. My wine tasting habits are going to change. You know, everything in life is going to be completely different. But, you know, I have friends that have gone to weddings on Google Hangouts and Zoom, and I'm putting together a baby shower for people in 12 different cities, where everyone's going to be receiving, like cookie decorating kits and cocktail kits and wine, so that everybody's drinking the same thing and they can still be on screen and still see each other and chat in a different way, so that they can still have a community experience of some sort before we can all get back together and have all the diaper games together.
Yeah, I'm going to be attending my first wedding on Zoom in a couple of weeks. A friend who was going to married in Paris this summer, and she had to cancel all of that. And so getting married in their backyard in Denver. Yeah.
Well, everybody can speak French. It'll be like the same thing. That's amazing. Well, I mean, you got to admire sort of the ingenuity of all these people.
You do, right? I mean, that's the thing. And I think hopefully everybody's just kind of adapting to there's nothing you can do. You got to make the best of whatever our situation is and whatever's going on. And, you know, unfortunately, there's probably a lot more pain ahead because the economy is going to have a tough time. And like we talked about in the service industry, so there's going to be a lot of pain down the road. And we all got to stick together and do the best we can and support people wherever we can. So how can people get involved in one of these boozy brunches?
So anybody is welcome. You just have to register in advance. They can come to Instagram. I'm @Belinda_Chicago. Or they can find me on Facebook, Belinda Chang. And you'll find a link. You click it. And then you join all the fun and brightness and community and a safe space on a Sunday at 2 p.m. every Sunday.
Sundays at 2 p.m. It is BYOB. Unfortunately, you got to remember that, right?
It is BYOB, and there is no corkage fee. So, you know.
There you go.
I never charge corkage.
You can find more with Belinda at BelindaChang.com. But as she said, follow her on Insta at Belinda_Chicago or find her on Facebook at Belinda Chang. Thank you so much for jumping on. I hope we get to see you in person sometime soon.
I hope so, too. We clink glasses soon.